Canada with the guys, and so we're lucky enough to have Mr. Sealing preach to us tonight. So without further delay, you can come up and bring the message.
Well, good evening. Good to see all of you here tonight. I'm glad to be back here. I wish Pastor were here. I would much rather hear him. I will say at the outset here, folks know that we've been around the country with military and stuff like that, been members of 9 churches and whatnot. There is no church that can equal this one, close to the ones that we've been in the past. I would say as well, as far as Pastor Largett, he is one of what I consider maybe one or two other people in the country that has spoken to my heart regularly. And so I hold him in great esteem. And to be able to stand in his pulpit, the Lord's pulpit, yes, but he's the one that's been entrusted. He's been here for so many years. The maturity that you exhibit is due to Pastor Largett, and there's no way I can fill his shoes. So again, I'd rather have him here tonight, but I do am excited about hopefully teaching you something. I had a comment after the last time I spoke, and somebody said something to the effect, that was a good lesson. And they said, wait a minute, the sermon. I said, well, no, it probably was a lesson. My gift is teaching. It's not so much preaching. So I've done a lot of Sunday school teaching and things like that, teaching what the Word says. But as far as preaching, you'll notice the style very different from Pastor Largett. So, but I thought tonight with the men, some of the men off on the fishing trip, that I'd try to give a lesson or a sermon, if it'll wind up being that, about women, about both the blessings that women can be in the church, and also maybe hopefully an encouragement, but also some teaching as far as what we need to do, continue to do in our church. So the title of the message would be Needed Women Teachers, okay? And we're going to be in Titus tonight. So if you turn to Titus, we'll be looking at 8 verses in chapter 2, actually just a few less than 8, but this will set the context. So turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. We'll begin reading the first 8 verses here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So this is what we're going to focus our attention on, and specifically, mostly in the area of addressing women in this section. It's interesting that the majority of these verses are talking to the women as opposed to the men. That's something that, I don't know if you've noticed, but a little unusual. Usually there's much more in the New Testament expounding on men. This is a section where both men and women are addressed, and there's more spoken to the women in this section. Well, let's go back and try to set the context. Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Titus, and he is basically giving him instruction as to what he should do. That's what this book is about. Now, we don't have any reference to Titus in the book of Acts. We think that this occurrence of when he was Paul was writing this book was after Paul had gone to Rome. He was in prison. He was released from prison for a while and then imprisoned again, and then we know he was martyred for his faith. And some of those last details, we don't have any authoritative, inspired record as far as exactly what happened there. But we do know, not really much doubt as far as some of these things that went on. It appears that this book, Titus, was written to Titus after Paul had gone to Rome. Okay, and he's telling Titus in this book that he wants him to stay in Crete. And so there are some people that believe that Paul actually, between the time he was released from prison and was imprisoned again in Rome, actually traveled to Crete and worked there. Okay, we don't, again, have any more record than that, but it seems to be the only logical thing that happened from what we have as scripture. And he's saying to Titus that he wants him, in verse 5 of chapter 1, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee." So that is the reason why Paul is writing this letter to Titus. So let's start there, okay? First off, notice the problem, okay? In verse 5, "that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting," okay? Things were not going well in Crete in the Christian churches. And Paul says, "Titus, I want you to stay there and I want you to fix them." Okay? And then, in addition, I want you to name elders. Well, what's going on? Let's skip down to verse 10. Notice here, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.'" That's a real compliment. "This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." That is what Titus was up against, as he was supposed to obey Paul's letter and commission to go and set things in order that are wanting. And the way you do that is set elders over them. Okay? Now, this section, if we go back to verse 6, we're going to see that this is a very familiar portion of Scripture. You've probably read it many times about the qualifications for elders, and then deacons are not listed here, but if we would turn back to 1 Timothy in chapter 2, we would find that record as well. Okay. Now, what I want to look at, we've seen this problem, and we've seen what the prescription is. Okay, set in order is a medical term. It's a term that our nurses here would understand about setting a bone, okay? Your arm's been broken. What do you need to do? You need to go to the hospital, and it needs to be set, put a cast around it, and then it will heal over time, okay? That is what Paul is commissioning Titus to do. "I want you to stay in Crete, and the church is broken. It's got a broken bone. I need you to set that and fix things," okay? That's what is going on here. That's what the problem is, and that's what the prescription is, okay? Notice who's involved here. This is where we're going to skip to chapter 2. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." How is he going to do that? He said that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience, okay? So this is, again, the qualifications for an elder. But there's one thing that's really interesting here. There's one of the qualifications that we always think of, and that's listed if you want to flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and you see the qualifications for elders there. Does anybody notice right off the top of your head one major thing that's not listed in Titus? Apt to teach. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't need to be apt to teach, but I think Paul eliminated that from this list because he's not going to talk about teaching. You would expect Paul to be telling Titus, "I want you to stay in Crete and I want you to preach the word." That's not what he says. That should get our attention. Because we're so used to this idea that we need to proclaim the gospel, and we do, okay? And was Titus going to do that? Yes, he was. Did Titus do that? Yes, he did. But what's Paul emphasizing in this letter? It's not teaching. As a matter of fact, that word is only used four times in this book. One of them we saw in verse 11 of chapter 1. and it was basically used in a wrong sense, okay, that people were teaching the wrong things, okay? But the problem in Crete was not that they were not teaching right things in the church. They had other problems. They had this bone that needed to be set. And what needed to be set? This idea of living the faith before the world so that everybody would see that there is a difference between Christianity and the unsaved pagans that were around there. And that's what Paul is exhorting Titus to do. I want you to set people over the church that will get control of this situation. Now, is teaching going to be needed to do that? Absolutely. But that's not what he's emphasizing here. Okay? And notice that when it comes to looking at the qualifications for elders here in chapter 2, he doesn't mention that. He doesn't mention apt to teach, that these guys must be teachers. Okay? That means it's all the more significant, I think, when we get down and we talk about the women, that Paul does emphasize the teaching. And that's where I think we can really get some interesting things here. Okay? So notice that the people involved that Paul is telling Titus to get involved, to fix the problem, to mend the bones that are broken. How are you going to do that? Who are you going to use? You're going to use aged people. Okay, so that's speaking directly to some of us that have some years behind us. Okay? Now, this is interesting because it's also possible to have mature people that are younger. Okay? Mature in the faith. There's countless examples throughout history of men that the Lord has used at very young age that died at a very early age, what we would consider a very early age. Take Matthew Henry's commentary. Matthew Henry's commentary has been continually in print since when it was produced in the 1600s. And yet, Matthew Henry died, I think, when he was in his 40s. And yet he wrote that commentary as a relatively young man. Okay? But if you look at the context here, as far as if we flip over here to verse 6 of chapter 1, when Paul is addressing these men, what are some of the assumptions? Okay, if he meet blameless, the husband of one wife, so he's a married man. Okay? Or has been married. Of course, there'd be all kinds of controversy. Does this person have to be married? Is this poking the problem of the Catholic Church that they believe that men cannot be married and be in the ministry? Well, it appears that they at least were, okay? Is this that a man can't marry a second time after his first wife dies? Some people believe that. I don't believe that either. The bottom line is this man is a faithful man to the single wife that he is married to, okay? That's the point that the Lord is making here. Okay. Notice, having faithful children not accused of riot and or unruly. So he's old enough to have children that have matured themselves to the point where they have proven to be, aha, these are good people as well. It takes some time age-wise in order to accomplish that. Okay. Now, why is that Paul is addressing not mature men, but he specifically uses that word aged? And that's where I think we can address, go back to what the problem is, and that is we need somebody that have authority, that are recognized as having authority, that have lived life a while, and have proven over the long haul that these men can be counted on. Okay? We all know of people that appeared to be wonderful preachers of the word as young men, and they went aside after a while, okay? Well, these aged men are such that they have proven over the long haul there's really nothing for them to run away to, okay? Who is going to go and start kicking up their heels in their 60s, so to speak, after they've lived their Christian life and whatnot? The reliability of these individuals is pretty much known throughout the island of Crete where these men are. And that's what Paul says, that's who you want to target. Okay? So notice, there is some age to these men. Okay? Notice the word that is constantly used about this as well. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Look at verse 2 of chapter 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Look at verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Look at verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Look at verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. It seems that the number one qualification that Paul is emphasizing to Titus here in these men, and which is the goal of all of the people groups that we're going to be talking about here, is that they are, or that the goal is, they will become sober-minded people. Discipline-minded, not frivolous, serious about their faith, and that it basically shapes their lives. That is what the Lord is looking for here, okay? That is the key thing there, okay? So these people must be, number one, aged, and number two, sober-minded, okay? But that gets us into verse 3, and this is where I want to spend most of our time here. The aged women likewise, notice they're right in the same category as the men. So notice that word likewise, basically it's an easy way of saying, hey, everything I said about the men, yeah, applies to the women too. Okay, so the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things. Okay, notice there's that word. They're going to be teachers in a book where Paul is not emphasizing teaching. Okay, this is one of the four references. And then look at verse 4, that they may teach the young women. So here in two of the four instances where teaching is referred to in this book are right here, and it's applying to women. That should cause us to get our attention on this, okay? So what is the plan that Paul has, okay? He has commissioned Titus to remain in Crete. He wants him to set in order to mend that broken bone. So put constraints around this broken bone so that it will stay in one place to the point where it will heal, and then it can be usable as a regular arm again. That is the essence of what he's doing. What's his plan? He's going to use aged people to do that, okay? Notice what the emphasis in America today is. You want a church where you appeal to the young people and this, that, and the other thing. I found it very interesting. I was listening to a message by John MacArthur, okay, another man that I would esteem very highly. And he's decided early in his ministry he was going to build his church around the senior saints in his church. And I think that's largely why he has been successful in his ministry for so long, and it has expanded to such a great extent, okay? So notice this is falling right into line with what Paul is telling Titus, verse 2 of chapter 2, the aged men, and notice verse 3, the aged women likewise, okay? So the plan is revolving around teaching. He's saying that in a book that he's not emphasizing teaching, okay? I find that interesting, okay? Notice this word teaching in verse 4, it's related to the word temperate in verse 2, okay? The aged men be sober, grave, temperate. It has that same root, okay? So the aged women are going to be teaching temperance and in a temperate manner. In other words, this whole idea is that we need to get serious about what we're doing in the church. We've got broken bones. We've got the church going in crazy directions. We've got people trying to make money off of the church. We got people that are trying to deceive others. They're trying to get influence for themselves. How do you fix all that? You get serious. And Paul says, how do you do that? You use aged people to do that. Okay? Now, what's interesting is that the Lord is using Paul to emphasize the ministry of women here. Okay? Ladies, there are some things, I hope this is an encouragement also, an idea for you to say, ooh, I need to be doing something. There are things that you can teach, only you can teach folks. Okay? I have three daughters. Okay? Just on the way home from church today, I was talking to my wife and I said, "Dear, you need to talk to one of them about this because dad can't do that," okay, when it comes to modesty and dress and things like that, okay? There are things that only you women can teach young women, and that's exactly what is being said here, okay? All right, notice who are the pupils, okay? We've seen the problem, we've seen the prescription, we've seen the people, we've seen the plan. Who are the pupils? Well, in the case of women here, the pupils are the young women, okay? Now, I know we have many young women here that have just graduated from college, finished high school, and this and that and the other thing, and if you're like me, and I think you are, you're going, finally, that schooling is behind me, okay? Guess what, folks? That was all preparatory for what you really entered into now, which is this school as a young woman learning from the aged women in the church. Okay? Now, notice what is being said here. Is the word mother in this passage? Is the word daughter in this passage? No, it's not. I think that's deliberate on Paul's part. Okay? There are things that you young ladies need to learn from aged women, and it might not necessarily be your mother. As a matter of fact, you all know, and you ladies that are older know that there were things that you would like to talk with another woman about, but not your mom. Okay? So what this is making is an obligation for the church that all of you aged women have to be involved in the lives of the young women. It's not just moms, okay? If your children are grown up and moved away or something like that, you are in this church, then you have an obligation, according to Titus here, of being a mentor and helping women, young women, in this church. Because they face, in my mind, the most difficult task today of being a Christian in the United States of America. If we look at what's happening to our society and how things have changed, there is no group that has more pressure on it to conform than young women to the pagan society around us. You look at the fashions, the pressure to go and conform in that regard. Okay? The pressure when it comes to just aspiring to have a family, okay? There is great, great resistance to that, okay? You look at the news today, and the whole message of the pagan news media is that a woman is not fulfilled unless she's out in the workaday world and this, that, and the other thing, and she can, quote, have it all, you know, that type of thing. Well, somebody needs to tell these folks, those of us sitting here tonight, you know how many hours today we had? We had 24. We got a few more in this hour, and then it's gone for a few more today. Do you know how many hours President Trump had? He's got 24. There's not one person right now, doesn't matter how influential, what responsibilities they have or anything, that has 1 second more than any one of us here. And the line that the world is selling us today is that you can have a full-time career and you can be a mom and you can do this and you can do that. Folks, you got 24 hours, okay? The idea that we have that we say, okay, what do you do? I work full-time, okay? It may be 40 hours a week. It might be 80 hours a week or something like that. And then whatever else you do is part-time, okay? The idea today of being a full-time mom is held in great disrepute by the world, okay? But using their terminology, if they've got a full-time job, what does that make them as far as a mother? Part-time, okay? Now, that is not to say that anybody that has a job outside the home is a part-time mom, okay? But we all know that are out in the world what the demands of our jobs are, okay? That our employers want more and more time from us, okay? And there are certain jobs that will lend themselves to why I can go and be an influence in my children's lives while I am performing some kind of work, some kind of task, that type of thing, school teaching and some of these other areas are around, okay? Medical fields as far as trying to help out in service and things like that. So there's plenty of things that, it's not like women can't hold down a job, can't get a paycheck, that type of thing. That's not what I'm emphasizing. But we all know the pressure of the world, okay? This idea of professional women and whatnot, okay? And what is Paul saying here, okay? That the emphasis needs to be on the home, okay? If we look to Proverbs, we're not going to turn there tonight, might mention one verse, but that here is this godly woman and everything she is doing, and she is doing a lot, okay? For all of you ladies that aspire to be a Proverbs 31 woman, that's a pretty tough hill to climb, okay? She is good at just about everything, but one thing you can be sure of is that everything that she is doing in Proverbs 31 is centered around the home. It is for serving her family, okay? And I think what Paul is doing here in Titus is emphasizing the fact of the importance of what they are doing and now how diligent we must be at every level of our society in order to make sure that that happens in the Christian context. Aged women teaching the younger women, okay? So the pupils are the young women, and now we need to look at what's the program of study, okay? If you ever go to a school, it's like, okay, what course am I taking? What are we going to be learning here, okay? Well, first off, notice that they teach the young women, first off, to be sober. There's that word again that we've already referred to, this idea of being serious, okay? And people, young people are naturally fun-loving, okay? If you look on, and I don't, but I've heard people talk about and make fun of these postings that people have on these electronic match sites. I'm not saying the right thing, but dating sites, I guess, is what it is, okay? You know, I saw somebody pass around something at work saying, ah, here are the top 10 phrases for dating sites. Loves long walks on the beach, you know, fun loving, you know, and this and that and the other thing. That's a common trait among young people that we want to do that. And we are looking for that in a mate. What does the Lord tell us? Very quickly, we need to start thinking soberly, okay, serious-minded, okay? That is not to say that young people shouldn't think that way, but there needs to be aged people to put things in perspective as they are forming their homes, getting their families established and whatnot. Hey, this is serious business now, okay? Paul said that. When I was a young man, and when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay? We've got a dearth of that with our young men playing video games. It's like, hey, guys, you know, that's okay for boys, but now it's time, once you grow up, you need to start moving. I work with people that spend all their time, free time at home, doing video games as officers in the Air Force, and I'm going, that's not good, okay? That's not good at all, okay? These guys need to be mature and understand what some of their obligations are, okay? And then what's the second thing here we see? To love their husbands, to love their children. Okay, so, okay, they teach young women to love their husbands, love their children. Does that look a little odd to you? Because people that are newly married, young women, naturally love their husbands, okay? Some don't, but that's why they got married, okay? Now, some commentators say, well, this is really emphasizing the fact that back during this day and age where this was written, that most of the marriages were arranged and basically love had nothing to do with the marriage, okay? And there could be an aspect of that as well. But we also know in our society in which we live, that if you're going to get married, you know what you've got? You've got a 50% chance that your marriage is going to end in divorce, statistically, in America today. Oh, but we're Christians. Guess what? There isn't one percentage point different between Christians and the world in that statistic today. Okay? So you've got a 50% chance of not loving your husband at some point or him not loving you. Okay, so guess what we need? We need aged women teaching younger women how to do that. Okay, Because it's not natural. It's like, oh, I just love him. It's an emotional type of thing. Well, guess what? That only lasts for so long. Unless you are dedicating yourself and understanding and learning. And our women find out really quick that we're not nearly as good as they thought that we were, okay? After they get married, folks, okay? So here is Paul telling Timothy that you need to go and look for aged women that will teach the young women how to love their husbands. And then how to love their children, okay? We were talking in our family there. Hans and Melissa have Henry and Liesel, and they were over to the house, and there was Liesel. She crawled right up into Hans's lap and sat there and was watching a movie and was just happy as could be. And I looked there, and I said, oh, I remember those days when my daughters did that. And all of a sudden, there became a day where it's like, they didn't want to do that anymore, okay? And it was like, hey, what's the deal? Come on, I want you to step in my... No, Dad, I don't want to do that anymore, okay? Well, they were growing up, okay? Well, at that point, now the children are starting to learn that they want to do other things, and the number one thing, their constraint in their life is who? If it's a godly home, it's Dad. He's the authority figure. Now, again, we've got the world now to help us with our children because they're going to go and enhance that, right? They're going to go and tell our children that they need to be obedient to their parents, right? Wrong, okay? If you want to see a picture of the biggest buffoon in America, turn on any program on the TV and a dad there will be portrayed as being an absolute buffoon, okay? So what does that mean for you? Ladies that are raising children, is you've got to cut through all that and you've got to teach your children to love their father, okay? Because as they get older, guess what they find out? They find out that their dad isn't the perfect dad that they thought, you know? So when boys are little and they go to school and they're talking with their friends and this, that, well, my dad's this and my dad can beat up your dad and I can do this and I can do that. And all of a sudden they get to a point in their life and they realize, guess what? My dad can't beat up everybody, okay? And my dad isn't the smartest guy, and he can't answer that question. And, wow, I've seen him make some mistakes. Oh, my goodness. I don't know that I want to go and follow him anymore. Well, guess who needs to be there to teach him and her? Kids, you need to love your dad. And loving your dad in this case means obeying him even when he's just proven to you that he's not perfect. Okay? Now, folks, ladies, if you want a difficult job, that is a difficult job. Okay? Going to school, going to work, and working 40 hours a week, you are tired physically and whatnot. I'm not, you know, discounting that at all. But you want a tough job? It's raising teenagers when you're trying to teach them to love their father and follow him as opposed to all of the allurements of the world that we've just been talking about, okay? This is a very difficult job, okay? And these young ladies, guess what? They need help, okay? They need help from aged women that will say, I understand, I know, I had a situation just like this. You mean I'm not in this all by myself? No, you're not. This is what I dealt with. So, young ladies, what you need to do is you need to be asking and talking to the aged women, okay? The aged women, you need to be looking out for the young women to say, hey, how can I help you through this? Hey, you look like you've had a tough week. Need to talk? Okay? Now, at the same time, we have to be careful of the natural thing that happens, that we don't devolve to gossip and this and that and the other thing, okay? When all of a sudden the young mother will start talking, my husband doesn't understand me or this, that, and the other. The aged women need to step in there and say, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you supposed to do? You need to love your husband. Yeah, but no buts, okay? And this is how you go about and do it. In other words, help them and train them as to how to go about and do that. That's what Paul is saying here in Titus here, okay? So notice they are to love their husbands, okay? Show their children that they, in turn, are being obedient to their husbands even when dad messed up, And the kids are going, oh, well, if mom is obedient to dad, then guess what? That means we have to. And model that before them. That's hard, folks. Okay? You've got to be able to do that, and at the same time, give your husband help when he's got a weak area, if it's finances or some other area where you're letting him lead, but at the same time trying to help him, complete him, so that he can be the one making the right decisions and steering from, oh, we just hit a pothole, boom, okay, well, there's another pothole coming. Ah, let's try to get around that one. Whew, okay, good. All right, that's what your job is, okay? The children understanding this authority that dad has and that mom is trying to go and build that up to them, okay? As opposed to tearing dad down. Well, dad did that, but you know what? Don't do that, okay? Dad was a buffoon on that, okay? Notice that, and the next word here is being discreet. Guess what? It relates right back to that word sober-minded again, okay? This idea of being self-controlled, okay? Notice how important this is if you want maturity in your Christian life. Most of it, folks, is just flat-out discipline, okay? The old idea of success being 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration type of thing, okay? That's what's involved here. Okay. Notice the word chaste, pure of mind and heart. You want to be teaching them that. Okay. You can't be teaching them that if you don't have that as well. If you're not saying, hey, that's not going to be on the TV, off with that. Or the boys that want to play their video games, that's like, guys, that's a little bit too graphic, violent. We're not going to have that in the house. Okay. And supporting dad if he says so. You may have to, again, be obeying a husband that says, oh, no, it's fine. It'll teach him how to be a boy and all of this, that, and the other thing. So you got to balance that stuff, okay? How are you going to go and get some help as to how to do that? You need to talk to the aged women to do that, okay? They need to be keepers at home. They need to be a guide to the home, okay? Proverbs 31:13. Again, we're not going to turn there, but notice what that verse says. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. In other words, he can commit anything to the home, and hey, she's got it, okay? That's what you've got to teach to young women, that these young husbands will say, you know what, I don't know how my wife does it, but you know, when it comes to the home, she's got it, okay? Where did she learn that? She learned it from the aged women, okay? This idea of good, notice that word in verse 5, good. This is the idea of being kind. Okay. All the while she's doing this, she is doing it with an attitude of kindness. Okay. Again, Proverbs 31 verses 26 says, the law of kindness is with her. Okay. Again, this is the picture of what the Lord wants us to be learning. Okay. And then lastly, obedient, notice to their own husbands. Okay. Notice what Paul didn't say here. That women are to be obedient to every man. They've got one authority. That's good, okay? Only one authority is your husband. Obey your husband, that type of thing, okay? And what is the reason for this, okay? What's the product if we actually are able to do this successfully? You've got it right there at the end of verse 5. That the word is not blasphemed, okay? Folks, the word of God is being blasphemed on a daily basis in our society today, okay? We are the one little flock, okay, that the Lord has chosen as his own, okay? There's some others around town, but we're certainly not the majority, okay? And it's up to us that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wouldn't it be something if our influence was so great in this community that despite the size of us, that we would temper the attitudes that are said on the nightly news because they go, yeah, but you know what? We have to be careful what we say. These people over there, they are living such lives as an example. Their older women are teaching the younger women. The younger men are coming up and demanding that of their young women that they're going to marry. That, you know what? We can't find any fault with them, okay? Notice in verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That is the goal, okay? So I hope that is an encouragement to you to keep doing what you're doing. Okay, I agree 100% with what Pastor said just a few weeks back. He said that by and large we are a mature church. I will second that, okay? That I've been in a lot of churches around the country, folks, and this is one of just a very few. And it's largely because we've had Pastor Largett as our pastor for many, many, many years. And you know as well as I do, because you hear his sermons, that he is learning on a daily basis and leading us to obey the word of God. We need to take that to heart, folks. Okay? And this is just a little practical way that the Lord is using by this book of Titus to go and illustrate. It's not so much about teaching, it's about doing. Okay? And in the case of women, what is the doing? It's the teaching of the next generation. So continue to do that. I know you ladies are. For some of you that are just getting into this, and you're younger, find one of the aged, older ladies and say, hey, would you mind mentoring me? Or can I just talk to you about an issue or something like that? And then, aged ladies, look for younger women that you can help out. You don't have to walk up and say, I'd like to be your mentor. Okay? No, but as they are leaving the nursery, trying to corral three children and whatnot, you grab one arm and you say, hey, I'll help you. Hey, how are things going? And all of a sudden, you start developing a rapport with other ladies, and you start to go and minister to one another this way. Okay? All right, let's stop here. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer.